There was a man who once, when Jesus said that, he said, you got to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, turn to Luke chapter 10. Well, this is where Jesus quoted these two verses. When somebody asked him in verse 25, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, what's written in the law? How does it read? He said, you got the Bible. Why do you ask me? It's written in the Bible. He said, yeah, I know the answer. You got to love the Lord your God. Luke 10 and verse 27. With all your heart, with all your soul, and all your strength. And with all your mind. And you must love your neighbor as yourself. And he said, that's right. It's written in the Bible. You answered correctly. Do this and you will live. But he was a true child of Adam, just like us, wanting to justify himself. You know what a tremendous lust, I call it a lust, there is in all of us to justify ourselves. We're okay. Wanting to justify himself, just think of that phrase. And see if you're ever guilty of it in your life. In your relationship with other people, wanting to justify yourself. Jesus once turned to the Pharisees and said to them in Luke 16 verse 15, you are those who justify yourself before men. But that which is great in the eyes of men is an abomination to God. Luke 16, 15. So I learned from that if I try to justify myself before men, I may convince them, but God thinks I'm an abomination. And just in case you want to compare scripture with scripture, there was something that God called an abomination in the Old Testament. You know what it was? He told the Israelites in the wilderness, when you go out to the toilet, they didn't have toilets there, go out outside the camp, take a spade with you, dig a ground, and when you're finished, cover it up, otherwise the Lord will see an abomination. That's the abomination we are when we justify ourselves before men. I never in my life want to justify myself before men because it makes me a stinking abomination before God. I'd rather those people think wrong of me than God think I'm an abomination. So he wanting to justify himself, the moment you begin to justify yourself, you begin to say, I'm all right, you know, I'm trying to keep those commandments, but my problem is, who's my neighbor? That's why he asked him. He said, Jesus said, okay, I'll tell you who is your neighbor. And remember, he was speaking to a brotherhood of Israeli people who were all descendants of Abraham. We must not look at the nation of Israel like the nation of India. No. The nation of Israel is not a picture of a nation on the earth today. It's a picture of the church, which is called the Israel of God in Galatians 6. It's a picture of the church. So when you read this story, you're thinking not of some stranger, but of a brother. Because everybody in Israel were brothers. In the story of the rich man and Lazarus, the Lazarus, the beggar sitting outside his gate, was his brother. Not just any odd beggar that you find anywhere on the streets. If you don't bear that in mind when you read the Gospels, you can have all types of wrong ideas in your mind. So Jesus replied, there was a man going down from Jerusalem, Jericho. He was a son of Abraham. And unfortunately, he fell among robbers and they stripped him and beat him and went away leaving him half dead. And there was a priest going down the road. When he saw him, he passed by the other side. This is what I call the sin of doing nothing. The sin of doing nothing. Now, many people do not know that there is a sin in doing nothing. They know the sin of doing something, where you hurt somebody, or harm somebody, or speak evil. Now, this guy never spoke evil of him. He never kicked him, he never spat on him, he never spoke evil of him. He just ignored him and went on. Then there was a Levite. Jesus spoke about these people who are supposed to know the scriptures better than anybody else, and I suppose that applies to us. Perhaps I wonder if there are people in Bangalore who know the scriptures as well as we do. Well, then this applies to us. You see a brother who's been beaten up by the devil, or a sister who's been beaten up by the devil, and in your attitude towards that person, God examines your heart. This is what the Lord was saying. That my attitude to my brother or sister is going to really reveal to me, if I want to see it, my heart's attitude towards God. Now I want to say, dear brothers and sisters, if you watch this, if you watch this diligently during this year, I can give you in writing, you will be a more Christ-like person by 31st December this year. But that's up to you. And then this guy also passed by on the other side, and he was probably busy meditating on scripture or preparing for the sermon he had got to preach in the temple, and probably inwardly judged this man, saying, why in the world is he going from Jerusalem to Jericho? He should be going towards Jerusalem. The meeting is there. Now why is he going somewhere else? Do you judge people who don't come to the meeting? I think a lot of us do. He should be going to the meeting. Why is he going to Jericho? Why is he going somewhere else? None of my business. I don't go for my relatives' weddings when there's a meeting in CFC, but I never judge another person who does that. Because my convictions are for myself. It's not for a single other person. Do you judge someone who doesn't do what you do? Or who doesn't have the same sense of priority that you have? Okay, he decides to go from Jerusalem to Jericho. Well, I'm going to Jerusalem for the meeting. It's none of my business. It's none of my business to say, well, you deserve it, that you had an accident, because you should have been going to the meeting, not going away from it. It's so easy. It is self-righteousness that makes me feel I'm holy. I'm going to the right place. This guy's going the wrong direction, and he deserves it. Be careful of that. And then there was this Samaritan. Now, I want you to understand, the Samaritans were people whom the Jews had nothing to do with. Samaria was captured 700 years before Christ by the king of Assyria. You read that in the Old Testament. And he came and captured the northern part of Israel, which was called Israel. The southern part was called Judah. And he sent the Assyrians into Samaria, and there was a lot of mixed marriages. You know, and you know how in India we know people despise mixed marriages. We like to keep our tribe pure. So the Jews despise the Samaritans. So they say, they're all mixed. They're not pure Jews like us. They're a mixed race. And so, you know, I mean, the Jews were so despised, the Samaritans so much, they wouldn't even walk through Samaria. They go right round and take the long walk, and they say, I want to have nothing to do with going through these people. And here was a group of people who were despised. You know, this could apply to Christians whom you despise and other denominations perhaps. And that Samaritan came by. He wasn't probably going to a meeting. And I don't know which way he was going, whether he was going toward Jericho or Jerusalem. But he was on a journey and he saw this man. And he never knew the Bible as much as this priest and the Levite. But he felt compassion. Now remember, this is not a picture of some man lying on a road in India. It's a picture of a brother whom you see in need. Spiritual need perhaps. Who's failed or done something wrong. Slipped up. Beaten up by the devil. Young man perhaps who slipped up and fell into bad company. Unfortunately, your children are not like that. And you say, well, parents didn't bring him up right. I brought up my children right. That guy didn't bring his children up right. What to do? He's got to suffer. That's the attitude of the Pharisee, not Jesus' attitude. Or he's of a mixed race. You won't have much to do with him. But this man, he had compassion. Bandaged up his wounds, poured oil and wine on him. Why did he do it? He was a total stranger. He was not even, you know, a pure descendant of Abraham. He was mixed with Assyrian blood in him, the Samaritan. He put him on his beast and took him to a little hotel and took care of him. And then he gave him 2 days' wages to the innkeeper. 2 denarii means 2 days' wages. He took out his own money and said, will you please take care of this man? I don't know what's happened to him. And I'll be coming this way again. If you spend more, I'll repay you. But please help this man. And Jesus said, now of these three people, verse 36, who do you think was a real neighbor? Who proved to be a neighbor, who loved his neighbor to the man who fell into the robber's hands? And he said, the one who showed mercy towards him. As God has been merciful to us. First of all, this man beaten up is a picture of you and me, beaten up on the road, going away from God, and Jesus came, picked us up. And he says, now you treat other people the same way. And Jesus said, stop justifying yourself, just go and do the same thing. Dear brothers and sisters, I'm not talking about social work. The first commandment is not love your neighbor as yourself. All people who spend their time doing social work, they think the first commandment is love your neighbor as yourself. It is not. That is to put head down and feet up. The first commandment is love God, love Jesus with all your heart, soul, and strength and mind. Then from there flows a love for others. The world will admire you if you don't love Jesus, but just love your neighbor as yourself. You may get a Nobel Prize or Bharat Ratna or something like that. But if you love Jesus first with all your heart and seek to be a witness for him, it's very unlikely you'll get a Nobel Prize. Even if you do good to others, because you do good in the name of Jesus.